culturally modified trees. It's a subject that I'm very, very fascinated with. They're also called prayer trees, talking trees. I like the term talking trees myself. Dr. Jefferson, who's on our board, he is one of the leading experts on this subject. What people started noticing many, many years ago were trees that didn't seem to fit in with other trees in that area. Branches were, shall we say, askew or twisted in ways that it seemed Mother Nature really couldn't do that, or why would Mother Nature do that? So in talking with more and more people and including more and more people on this subject, there was a realization. What people were realizing is that these trees could not have been sculpted in a natural way. What a lot of people started realizing was that Native Americans have a very, very strong lore, shall we say, an oral history of generations sculpting trees over time to communicate. For example, there was no written language within the Native Americans in North America, Central America, and South America, but also Australia, Africa, and throughout the world. As people started looking at these trees in a different manner, they realized that this was their written language to, for example, point the way out of an area or into an area, point the way to a watering place where they could get drink water, a meeting place, point the way to a meeting place where they could gather together and trade and so forth and so on. Might have been a warning system, stay away from this area because these people aren't as friendly, for example, that type of thing. So what they also discovered too, and this is the broader story that I encourage people to really talk about and think about, is that for many, many years, Native American voices were not heard. They were not listened to. There was not a process to even encourage that. In some areas, Native Americans weren't even allowed to speak their native tongue. Children were raised speaking English and were not allowed to speak their native tongue. We know those things happened. Well, what happened as a result is that, okay, then we're just not going to talk about the things that you want us to talk about. You know, we're just not going to do it. So there was kind of almost a code of silence, shall we say, which is totally understandable. And when I think about all that was lost, all that has been lost over the last 100, 150, 200 years, it's very, very, very distressing. The trees, for example, how many have been cut down for logging, clear the way for development? You know, how many thousands of trees have been lost? And what they were saying is also lost. What those trees were talking about is lost. So I saw my first ones down the San Luis Valley about 2 years ago. I was Colorado director of OSTA before I became president, and I just told my husband, you know, loading up the car, we're going down the San Luis Valley because I want to see what's going on down there. And Dr. Jefferson and others showed me various examples of culturally modified trees. The other thing that they're finding is that many of these trees were used for food source as well as medicine. The barks were taken, and the trees were not killed. The barks were ground down into medicine or a very high protein food source as well. So again, just all of these different fascinating aspects that, if it wasn't for the Old Spanish Trail, I wouldn't hear about.